gone? Now it's gone. Okay. Before I introduce Anu, today's our Mission Sunday, and we take this time just to kind of hear and give us a report on what's going on with some of our mission work. And one of the things that we've been doing in the past, I think it's about 9 or 10 years, we've been supporting Philip. So that makes you about 12 when we first started helping out with Philip in the Middle East in the children's home. And so Anu, who's now 22, has grown up to be a good-looking young man, as Virgil said this morning, and it's great to have him here with us today. Anu is here from Florence, Alabama, who he's going to school at the Heritage Christian College and receiving a master's in ministry, correct? And so he wants to take his education and go back to the Middle East in a year and a half, or no, this year, right? 2019, May of 2019, he'll graduate and continue the work over there as well. So we know that in the Middle East, there's a lot of violence, a lot of war, and we know that they need Jesus. And for things to change and be better, that's what it's going to take. And we appreciate you being here and the stuff that you're doing, as well as your father. And so he's bringing us kind of a report on what's going on with Philip, his dad, and what's been going on in the past year over there as well. So, Anu Gana, come on up.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I'm so happy and blessed to be here. I've been hearing about Windsor ever since my age of 12, 11, because all other churches are mainly focusing on supporting the work we do, but Windsor has helped our family to eat 3 times a day and to be happy, and I would never forget that in my life. You helped me to study and to reach new heights. So I'm very thankful and blessed for your support and help. And today, I brought a small lesson. And before small lesson, I would like to give a clarification on my name. This is what I do. My name is Anurup Ganta, but for Americans, it's just Anu, because it's so hard to pronounce my name. It's just one of those Indian names. And I'll make sure that I'll name my son Philip or John, so it's easy. It's easy for him when he's traveling. So whenever I preach in any congregation, I always try to encourage, and I always try to motivate a bit through the video that you all have seen in the Bible class. And also, few things that we'll study today that I hope that are helpful for our lives. One day, there was these two pots, and one pot had a crack. But the master was still using these two pots. He did not throw away the pot with a crack. So this master, every day, he used to take his two pots, come down the hill, take water, again go up the hill, because the water is only available down the hill. So that is what he used to do every day. Now there is this pot that have a crack, and master knows that this pot have a crack. Now for a long time, the pot is feeling so bad, because the other pot without crack used to always tease and insult, and used to say that, look at you, you're only working half, you're not satisfying the master, but look at me, I'm fit, I'm strong, I don't have any cracks, I'm fulfilling master's desires, I'm making master happy, whatever water he's filling, I'm giving him the full water, even up the hill, but look at you, by the time master reaches up the hill, almost all of the water is over and you're just giving half of the water and you're useless. You know, all these comments that the other pot was making on the pot that had a crack. Now, this pot used to feel so bad because every day this pot is hearing some criticism and this pot is having so much of guilt that it is not doing justice to his master. But master knew everything about this pot. So finally, this pot gave up and is like, "Master, I'm useless to you. It's better you throw me away and get a pot that have no crack. I'm not doing any justice. I'm not giving you that full satisfaction of work. I'm useless. Please throw me away." Then master took that pot and told that pot, "Did you notice all the flowers on the side of the walkway? And you just see it on one side and you don't see the other side? You know, I'm getting promotions and I'm getting good rewards from a master under whom I'm working because I'm decorating his house with all these flowers that are there on the side of the road, and he's giving me rewards because the flowers are so beautiful." So this pot was confused, like, what is the connection between me and the flowers? I'm saying my sad story and you're saying this happy news to me. Then the master said, "I knew that you had this crack. So what I did, on the side where you are, I planted some seeds along the hill. So what is happening is I'm filling you so that all the water that is leaking from you is actually giving life to all those seeds. And now you can see all these wonderful flowers." Now, what I want us to understand from this story is we all have our shortcomings. We all have our different weaknesses. We all have this one thing in our life that will always disappoint us. But my question is, what are we doing about it? Are we making it as an excuse? Or are we doing our best? Because we need to understand that our master knows everything about us, and our master knows how to make best use of our lives when we obey what he's telling us to do. So we need to do our best, even though we have our shortcomings. One example from book of Luke, chapter 19, that is where we are going to spend almost all of our time. And I want to see one small story, a story of a man. When we hear a man on a tree, what is the first name that comes into our head? A man on a tree. Zacchaeus. He is known for this, a man on a tree. Now, there are many interesting things that I want us to learn from his life, from this small story that we read in Luke chapter 19. Now, if you look at chapter 19, verse 1, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Now, this man had everything. He had no complaints. He had everything. He is wealthy. Now, there's nothing that is not there in his life. But he was not happy. There was still something missing in his life. He had everything. But there is that something that is missing in his life. You know, have you ever had that feeling that even though you had everything, but you still feel that something is missing? You know, whenever I cook curry in my dorm, you know, when making a curry, you need onions, tomatoes, you know, leaves, and spices, salt. I mean, curry is like a festival. Like, you have to spend a lot of things to make a small pot of curry. So sometimes I feel something is missing, even though I put, you know, everything in that curry. In our lives, we feel something missing sometimes. You know, this man had everything. And many people have this perception that if I had $20 million in my account, then I'm happy. I don't have anything to worry. But I've known people who have $20 million in their bank account. Our youth minister is a former baseball player. And he have more than $20 million in his account. But We every weekly once we meet at his house to make curry because they like curry. So I cook curry and we eat and we have that small fellowship. And he said that many people say money gives you happiness, but that's not true. You know, we have these misconceptions that if we have wealth, we are happy. But this man was not happy with wealth because wealth is not true happiness. He had everything. We all have this false idea of wealth. You know, when we talk about wealth, happiness, it all comes back to dollars. But that is not a true happiness. Many people think money is the solution, but that is also a misconception. Now, this man has everything, but something was missing in his life. And also, this man had a shortcoming. If you look at chapter 19, verse 3, he wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. Now, his shortcoming was he was short. His height was short. But he had the desire to see. He had the desire that he wanted to see who Jesus was. You know, I must say that Zacchaeus had the right desire. You know, if I ask some people, what is your desire? They say a lot of worldly things. What are our desires in our lives? What is our desire? When was the last time you had a desire that to worship on Sunday? When was the last time that you worked throughout the week and they're like, I wish Sunday was tomorrow. I wish Sunday was tomorrow. When was the last time you had that kind of feeling? What are our desires? We need to ask ourselves. We need to see where our focus is in our lives. Now, he had that desire. He knew that Jesus was coming through that way. And he wanted to see Jesus. It's not just the desire that he had, but he actually tried, right? What he did was, he went to the street to see Jesus. But he could not see because the crowd was there and his height was short. He had a desire. He tried. But it did not happen. So he came back home, right? You know, many people say, I tried. Many people say that I did my best. I tried. So now I'm giving up. Trying is not enough. You know, there's a solution for every problem in our lives. There's a solution for everything. We need to find out that solution. Now this man, he went and he could not see. He didn't go back home. What he did is, he ran ahead and found out some ways, because all the places are filled with people. The walkway was crowded. He wanted to see Jesus somehow. He's not expecting anything. He just wants to see that man who is doing all these wonders, who is blessing a lot of people. He just wants to see him. So what he did is, he found a way. What he did is, he ran ahead of everyone, expecting that, so that, you know, everyone is crowded in this area. If I run ahead and stand there, maybe I can see Jesus. He ran ahead. You know, what surprises me is, we plan everything in our lives. We plan everything ahead. Like, we plan what is our schedule for next month. We plan what is our schedule for rest of the day. We plan what is our schedule for rest of the week. We plan for eating, we plan for working, we plan for shopping, we plan for traveling. But when are we planning to read Bible? When are we planning to pray? When are we making a schedule? Because we feel that is not important. For us, traveling is important. You know, when our flight is at 8 a.m., we try to be at the airport by 6. But when the worship service is 9, we try to be there by 9:15. Now we need to, you know, scale them side by side. What is the level of importance in our lives to God? What is the level of importance or value that we are giving to God in our lives. We need to understand that. We need to understand that because it's very, 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 very important. We need to plan everything in our lives. It's very important. So he ran ahead and he finally found a way. He did not give up. You know, one lesson that we need to learn from him is that don't give up in life. Never say, I cannot. You know, with man, there are some things that are impossible, but with God, everything is possible. But the problem is, we don't go to him. The problem is, we don't involve God in our lives. That is the main problem. Now, he did not give up. We should never give up in life. Few reasons why we give up in our lives. Number one is we listen to wrong people who demotivate us. One of the reasons why we give up in life is we take wrong advices from people. In Dubai Church of Christ, there was this young man who broke up with his girlfriend. So he was so sad. He was heartbroken. So he messaged me and he said, Brother Rene, I want to talk to you. So I called him up and he's telling all this sad story. He said, Brother Anu, she broke up with me. She left me and went. I'm heartbroken. I don't know what to do. And I said, Brother, don't worry. She will come back to you. Just don't do anything wrong or bad. Just stay faithful. God will definitely do something. And he said, No, Brother Anu, she's already dating some other guy. I was like, Bro, then I think you need to be careful about this. Maybe there's something that God is telling you to do before marriage. You need to be careful about this relationship. And I said, Don't worry. God will definitely bless you with the wonderful Christian woman. Just stay strong. And it's almost a couple of years back, and now he's in relationship with a wonderful woman. They're gonna get married soon. Now, if you would ask some other person the same thing, if you have gone to some holy person, if you have gone to his friend, he would say, let's go to a bar and discuss about this. This has to be discussed inside a bar, not outside. And he will say, why are you crying about a girl? There are a lot of fish in the ocean. Don't cry. Oh, he will say those kind of things. Because those are the advices that my friends gave to my friends. Now, you see the difference between the people you approach when you have a problem. There are always these people who encourage you and who help you in a good way, and there are always these people who mislead you in a bad way. We need to realize from whom we are taking decisions. There are sometimes these people in our lives who demotivate us. We need to be careful about them. We need to be careful. Second reason why mostly we give up is because we are afraid. We are afraid that what if, you know, this what if question. And thirdly, we put confidence in wrong places. These are few reasons why most of the times people give up in life. But never, never, never give up. Always try, and definitely God will help you. So coming back to Zacchaeus, if you look at 19 verse 4, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Now this man, he climbed a tree. Now this is a picture of that sycamore fig tree. Now when we look at short people, you know, it's always challenging for them to do something like this, especially when climbing a tree. His legs are short, his hands are short, it's hard to reach for him, it's hard to climb, but he made it. You know, when we try, definitely God will help us. Definitely God will help us. He was short, but he did not give up. He did his best. And we all know what happened after that. If you look at verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house. Now, when Jesus said this, The next point is very, 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 very interesting for me. If you look at verse 7, chapter 19, verse 7, all the people saw this and began to mutter. Now, this is where we stop. You know, even though we plan ahead and we do something about it, we climb the tree, we finally reach that point, and there are these voices we hear. And that's where we halt our process. One of the reasons is we always try to please others. We always try to make others happy. That is something that I want us to think about for a second. This is where everything is going wrong. Today, if you look at the society, we stop dressing according to how we like. I mean, I'm not talking about America, I'm talking about back home. We stopped living the life we like. We stopped doing things we like because that one question, what will others think? I don't know if it's the same here in US. What will others think? Okay, if I dress like this, what will others comment? What will others say? If I do this thing, what will others say? What will others think? You know, most of the time we are so concerned about others that we forget what is God thinking about this? What is God's feeling about what I'm doing about this? And secondly, are you happy with what you're doing? Most of the people, you know, they work the jobs that they don't like because they have no option. But there are some things in your life that you have option. Don't lose that freedom, at least in taking good decisions in those little things of your life. There are some things that are out of control, but there are also some things that are under your control in your life. Don't lose freedom in controlling those things. Don't try to please people. Don't try to please people. Here, many people started to mutter. Oh, look at him. Oh, look at him. We have to be careful. One thing that I will say that it doesn't matter who you are to the world. All it matters is who you are to your loved. You know, there is this father and son and a donkey. They're going to a city and they have the small bags that they want to sell in the city to make some money. So they're crossing. They have these bags on the donkey. And there is this father and there is son walking on the side of a donkey. There is a village. And there are these few men in that village. Oh, look at these foolish people. The donkey is alone. They could have, somebody would have ride on the donkey. These people are brainless. So they saw this and they're like, son, hop on the donkey. So now there's donkey and the son is sitting on top of donkey and father is walking. They reached another village. And they've commented that, look at this son. The father is elderly. This son is young. He can walk and he's making his father walk. Look at this son. He don't have love for his father. The son felt bad. He's like, father, it's better you sit on the donkey. So the son got down. The father got on the donkey. They reached another village. And there again the people are like, look at this father. He had everything in his life. And he's making his small child walk. What kind of father is he? He don't have love for his son. So this father is like, son, it's useless. Then they both got down. And they reached another village. They are, look at that poor donkey, that animal who cannot speak. They're putting so much luggage on that donkey. And look at them. And finally what they did is they took the donkey on top of their head and they walked. You see, we cannot please anybody. We cannot please everyone. So, we need to be careful. If you try to start pleasing people, then you can never live your life. Stop listening to this tick-tick-tick things that are there around you in the society. Sometimes they weigh you down. You know, it's not the water that is around the boat that will make it sink. It is the water that is inside the boat that will make the boat sink. So it's not the things that is around us that will that will weigh us down. It is when we start taking things from outside, when we start filling our life with all useless things, that's when our life will start sinking. Don't listen to all these discouragement things from others who try to weigh you down, because they don't know who you are and they don't know what great things you're doing for God. Never be too quick to judge people. We need to be careful. Now, even though they muttered, Jesus does not care about it, and Zacchaeus did not care about it, but in verse 8, we see some interesting thing here. Now, there was nothing. Jesus did not do anything there. He just said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. And this man was filled with happiness. And he had a small kind of, you know, confession over there. He says, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Lord, look, I'm giving away whatever I have, whatever half I'm giving away. And if I've cheated anybody, I'm going to pay them back. Christ did not ask any of it, but he realized. Sometimes we need to realize in our lives. You know, there's always this realization point in everybody's life. That point is very, very important. We need to realize in our lives. We need to realize God's blessings. We need to realize what amazing things God is doing in our lives. But we always complain. We always complain with things we don't have, that we forget to give glory to God with for the things we have. Go to a handicapped person who is not having legs. He will tell you how blessed you are. Go to a blind man. He will tell you how wonderful your world is. Go to a man who is not having hands. He will tell you how amazing it is with the blessings you have. You know, never compare yourselves with a person above you. Always compare yourself with a person below you so that you can be grateful. That is very, 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 very important. We need to be grateful. We need to realize the God's blessings. Many of the times we pray, but we don't realize that God is already doing miracles in our lives. There was this man, they announced in the county that the whole area is going to be wiped out with flood. So everyone evacuate. Now this man is having strong faith in the Lord. And he's like, I'm going to pray to the God and he is going to rescue me. So he kneeled down in his house and is praying, God, rescue me from this flood. Please help me. Save me. And there is this car. Neighbors came in the car. Hey, brother, come with us. Are you going to die in the flood? He's like, no, I'm praying. God will send me help. So the car went. Then slowly water started coming. Then a boat came. He's like, hey, please come. We want to rescue you. Please come inside this boat. We want to rescue you. But he's like, no, I'm praying to God. He will send me help. So the boat went. Finally, the cops came in helicopter. He's like, hey, please take the help of this ladder and climb up and come so that you won't die in this flood. He's like, no, God will help. Send me a help. He will pray. He will save me from this flood. Well, his faith was strong. And he rejected all the help he could, and he got washed away in the flood and he died. And then he reached heaven and he went to God and he asked, God, why didn't you send me help? I'm dead now, I can't do anything. Why didn't you rescue me? Then God is like, well, I sent you a nice car, but you didn't come. I thought you didn't want to go in that car. Then I sent you a boat, but you didn't want to come. For the first time in your life, I gave an opportunity to ride in a helicopter. But even you misused it. You didn't want to come in that helicopter. Maybe I just thought that you wanted to see me. That's why you didn't take any help. Sometimes we don't realize what God is doing in our lives. We need to realize the blessings in our lives. Some people are so focused in praying, that they don't realize that God already answered their prayers. We need to realize. Now, this realization point in his life was his from his own heart. Sometimes realization is very important. This whole world might say whatever it is. They might They might criticize you for your shortcoming. They might make fun of your weakness. They might see you as a bad person. But I want to encourage you all by saying this. Apostle Paul was a murderer. David was an adulterer. Jacob was a cheater. Peter was mouthy and hot-tempered person. Moses was a stammer. Rahab was a prostitute. Everyone said that you're going to hell and we're going to heaven. But we all know that except her, the whole village, the whole place, the town was dead. Sometimes this world will not understand us. And that's how it's supposed to be. If the world understands us, then if the world understands us and the world welcomes us, then I don't think we're in the right path. Because that's what the Bible says. The world hated me and it will also hate you. If the world is loving you, that means you are like them. We are a light and salt. Let me tell you, there is no substitute for salt. There is no substitute for light. There is no substitute for you. You are unique. God has made you to be unique in this world. God has made you to do wonders through your life. All you need to do is, like that pot, do your best. And definitely, God will bless you. We are so amused by this world. Let me tell you a few differences from this world. This world will say, you only live once. Do what you want. Come on, you just got one life. Do what you want. That's what this world will say. But the word of God says, you live once. That's true. And that is the reason you have to make best use of it. Because this one-time living, whatever you're doing in this one-time living, will result in eternity. This world will say, believe in yourself. You say, all you need to do is yourself. Believe in yourself. And you can do wonders. But the word of God says, believe in God. Because we humans, we tend to change every time. When we have money, we are a different person. When we don't have money, we are a different person. When we are happy, we are a different person. When we are sad, we are a different person. We have millions of attitudes and characteristics in us. So we tend to change every time. But this word has not changed. So if you believe in this, then you can do wonders for the Lord. And next one is very interesting. For me, it is very interesting. You know, all these lovebirds, they say, oh, darling, you complete me. You know, you're my everything. You, without you, I cannot live. You know, you are all these wonderful love dialogues they give. But after 1 month of marriage, 2 months of marriage, why did I marry you? I wish I would have not met you in that place. I wish I would have not seen you in that place. This is what happens when you build relationship without God. But when you have God in your relationship, when you put Him as the foundation of your relationship will be blessed. The world says, speak whatever you want. Freedom of mouth. That is your mouth. You get to speak whatever you want. But the word of God says, be careful with what you speak. Everything you speak is important. Let me tell you, if you beat a person, you know that wound will go after a week or 2 weeks. But when you speak some word which is very hurtful, it will be there in their heart forever. Never be careful with whatever you speak. Words are very powerful than a gun. So you have to be careful with your words. And the world says, your life is in your hands. But word of God says that our life is in God's hands. So it is Him we have to be careful of. This whole world is a selfish world. Everywhere it is selfishness. This whole world is filled with selfishness. And we are craving for this world. Leaving the Almighty God who loved us, seeing our shortcomings, who loved us, seeing our faults. Who loved us, seeing all the bad things in our lives. He loved us when we are still sinners. That is true love. True love is not when you become a better person. True love is not when you're better and when you're the awesome person. That is not true love. True love is loving a person for who he is, or for loving who she is. So that's very important. This world is a selfish place, and it's very crooked. They don't want to think about others, and this world is full of running behind wrong things. We need to be careful. You know, God has given this wonderful power of thinking. Everything starts with our thoughts. Watch your thoughts. It's very important. Zacchaeus had the strong will in his mind that I have to see Jesus at any cost. That was his thought. That was his idea in his thought. We need to watch our thoughts. Our thoughts are very dangerous. Let me tell you what happens. This is a process. Watch your thoughts, for they become your words. Whatever is in here and in here will come from your mouth. Oh, by mistake I slipped out. It's not by mistake, it's what is there inside you. So you better keep some good words inside you. So watch your thoughts, for they become words. Watch your words, for whatever you speak, it becomes your actions. Watch your actions, because whatever you do will become your habit. And we have to be careful about our habits, because our habits will become our character. We need to be very careful about this final step. You need to watch your character, our character, because our character becomes our destiny. So it all starts in here, to where we are going. Let me tell you, God spoiled us by giving us freedom, and it is up to us how we are using that freedom. To go to heaven or to go to hell, it is in our hands. If you want to go to heaven, then live like what Word of God says. If you want to go to hell, just don't do any of this. It's in our hands. God has blessed us with freedom. So what is holding you back? That's the question that I want us to take back home. What is that thing that is holding back? We need to be careful about what is holding us back. Don't let anything bring you down. Do the best. Use all the talents you have for the Lord. Sing, pray, preach, evangelize, spread the gospel. Do whatever God is blessing you to do. Just don't worry about your shortcomings. You know what? You know, Paul asked, God, please heal me. Remove this thorn from me. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. And that's what I want us to keep in our minds. His grace is sufficient. Now, this pot did its best. And the master knew how to use this broken pot. We might be like that broken pot. But when we surrender ourselves to God, when we give our lives to Him, when we say, God, this is my broken life. You do something. You fix it. And I will listen whatever you say. He will definitely do it. But what we are saying is, God, you fix it and let me do whatever I'm doing. That is not good attitude. When you surrender completely. Don't do this 50-50 business with God. You surrender completely to God. When you do that, He will definitely bless you. We all have our shortcomings, but don't make your shortcoming as an excuse, but rather surrender to God and let Him use you. Definitely, He will bless you. God bless you all. Thank you.